You're listening to Digitally Enabled, the human stories behind branding. This is the place to gain greater insight into the human side of brand governance. Join Greg Silverman as he sits down with branding experts sharing real-life stories of how they face digital issues along their journey. Learn how others are dealing with maximizing the power of today's technology and get valuable advice straight from your peers. Here's your host, Greg Silverman.
Welcome back, everyone. Greg Silverman here at Digitally Enabled. My guest today is John Lyons. John, welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here.
I'm in Florida and John's in just outside London, and we're discussing the preamble, the benefits of coffee or tea. I think tea's still winning many places. John, tell everyone where you're working at and just kind of what you're doing, a little bit on your background.
Yeah, sure. So my current role, I work on the loyalty program, the VIP program at the LEGO Group. So I've been there under a year now, but it's been a massive learning curve. It's the first time I've been truly in-house, I think. But for me, obviously, it was a product I loved as a kid. But as a grown-up marketer, it was a brand that I admired. And agency career, it was the client win that I always coveted. So I did manage to win them as a client 4 or 5 years ago at a previous agency and fell even more in love. And so I'm super happy to be there now. Prior to that, for kind of 20 plus years, I've been primarily agency side marketer in fairly senior roles from the beginning. I kind of fell into, from freelance, kind of fell into creating my own digital agency kind of in the mid 90s. And that was something that kind of very much grew organically. And yeah, I kind of learned on the job in many ways. By my next move, we were acquired in the 2008 by a US digital promotions agency called Brand Movers. And so it was more of a formal arrangement by that point, where the acquisition led to me launching and heading up the first global office, which was the European office here in London, and kind of assisting a few years later with the next rollout, which was the India office. And so with that, there was much more of a kind of taking on board a brand and nurturing the brand and localizing the brand and kind of building out our agency offering there. I was there for 10 years and it kind of felt like the right time to go. We kind of had our record turnover and 10 years is 10 years. So I kind of exited there, spent a little time in consultancy where, having thought that I was a creative digital guy, what I realized, everybody knew that I could do solve problems inside a business. So most of my consultancy was helping come up with strategies, but also building the platforms and the technologies for these businesses to find their market, speak to their market, nurture their market, and in effect, build a sales funnel. So my role prior to joining LEGO was the NDL Group. So it's a well-established promotional marketing agency and group of companies celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. Very much a trailblazer in their industry. They actually kind of invented the category of winner and prize management, but probably had got a little bit too comfortable with where they were. And so when I joined, it was a group of three companies. There were challenges. We had gone into lockdown. And suddenly there was much more look at what we were doing, what was functioning well, and where efficiencies could be made. And, you know, not just cost-cutting efficiencies, actual efficiencies across the three businesses. It was probably the relevance to our conversation today, but...
Yeah, no, you must have seen a lot of client challenges about getting things digitally enabled. And I think it's often a combination of the brand problem and the tech problem. How did you suss out or sort out, you know, the problems they had and recognize where to point them to the right types of solutions?
So, I mean, the first thing, just for clarity, I kind of went in to head up a creative kind of team to pitch and win great promotions. So I was looking forward to putting my feet up and not having to worry about business and the finances. But yeah, as we went into the lockdown and as a prize company, a lot of the business is based on travel because it's still one of the greatest prizes. And of course, that stopped. So I got kind of more involved and was kind of eventually appointed group sales and marketing director. And so what we had to look at was, firstly, the money. We had to look at the numbers. We had to look at the bodies, the physical resource. We had to look at the brands. So at that time, we had two companies. One of those companies had a sub-brand within it that was a software platform. So actually, my first thing after looking at the numbers and looking at the resourcing and the structure was, firstly, what are we telling people about these brands? Are we maximizing our touchpoint opportunities? And so we did a kind of quick but fairly large scale research and brand repositioning process on all of the businesses. That meant resource changes. Again, not necessarily losing people. It meant that we kind of appointed two MDs across the business alongside a third one. The teams came a lot closer together and we developed the marketing and sales strategies. And what strategies were in place, we then had to work out how to execute. I'm sure this is something that you're familiar with, Greg, but what we found was a whole multitude of disconnected, inefficient technology solutions that were cobbled together as our kind of in effect marketing tech stack. So from there, the big job, what we need, how many of these things we need, and how we can actually connect the dots together. So just to give you an overview of kind of what we had going at that time, there was within NDL agency, there was an email CRM, there was a separate sales CRM, there was a disconnected invoicing system, there was no social management, there was prize management.
John, I have to interrupt. It sounds like everybody's problem. You know, everybody's right. Disconnected in some way. You know, and Sorry, I just didn't want the listeners to think like you had a unique problem. Like everywhere we go, people have parts and pieces and have to knit it together. So you're in the midst of discovering Absolutely. That, and then how did you do that?
Well, it was really a case of looking at what was even being used. I mean, we had a CRM system with the technology, the software company Promotigo, that was being used as really a kind of ticket system for customer queries. A kind of support ticket, but we were paying all sales suite and we weren't using that at all. So again, it was looking across what we were using correctly, making decisions on how we can cut those down. And what we ultimately came to was there's not much of this worth keeping. One of the problems that we had, and one that I was talking about, the volumes of different things that we, all of these systems have been used alongside each other back in some cases, 10 to 15 years. A lot of old data. We didn't know how much it was, so we had to get the data cleaned before we did anything. Basically, the decision I made was we needed to find a new provider because the sales CRM clearly wasn't working and the email CRM clearly wasn't working. And we wanted a bit more insight, kind of worked with HubSpot quite a lot in the past, particularly in my consultancy days for small companies. And the insights that you get there in terms of when people are opening emails and feeding into the sales funnel, it's just a lot more than just, I sent this person a mail then. So we started looking out the marketplace and we shortlisted, I think, three different platforms. So sort of in effect, we were looking at really the email function and the CRM function. We weren't looking beyond that at that point, the kind of the intel of the funnel. We came across a platform called SharpSpring and that actually offered us more. We were able to centralize the social calendar, landing pages, CRM, pretty much everything, most of our kind of proprietary tech stack across the three businesses would be able to fit within there. And we were able to do it in such a way that we could use the same platform, which was super useful for me because at that point I was overseeing the two different sales teams. And so being able to create a different funnel and a different view of the CRM in the same technology meant that I didn't have to learn everything twice.
I was just leaning into the idea, like, so the environment changes, you've got to sharpen the pencil, figure out a way to be productive, review all the systems. Now you've got a new charter of, your platform, how you pull it together. How'd you overcome the socialization challenge? Good news was you're leveraging something, but my goodness, that's not an inconsequential change in a virtual probably environment at that point, right?
No, absolutely. And I think probably I will hold my hands up and say, the fortunate is being we weren't dealing with the kind of volume that you'd have as a B2C company, I think, of the social stuff. But we were loosely active on social channels. And I, from the day I joined in my original role, we were looking at how we could start actually delivering some content, putting a content strategy in place, because we needed to remind the marketplace that not only are we here, we're as good as we've always been. Sounds like a brand strap that I've seen somewhere else recently. But it was very much a case of, we need to use all the channels available to us to remind people that we're still here. Yeah, I've always been quite active in marketing communities, kind of online and in person in the UK. And so things like LinkedIn, Twitter, various social channels are something that I'd made use of in the past. They've been very successful. And it was really a case of educating the client-facing teams first to be ready for this. And that meant also making sure that you don't just have a picture of you on your wedding day, throw it on it, because this now needs to be a shop window. There was a lot of training that went into it.
Yeah. So you did all that and, you know, start to finish, reset everything. What would you tell the listeners was the biggest challenge and how you overcame it?
I think there was one was when you're so much disparate, it often takes more time to get the data into a usable format than it does platform you're putting it into. So we spent a long time, and because I'm a bit of a perfectionist, I learned a lot about Excel. I learned how to code in Excel because we spent so many times loading stuff in and it crashing. But I had to, yeah. The couple of weeks it took me to learn that kind of hardcore probably saved me months. You know, this was several months program it took to get this into place. But that was a big thing, really, was the users. And it was educating the users who maybe have seen change before and were thinking, oh, here we go again. It's another thing. Educating them to why this was a business decision, why it was, and why we needed their support in order to make it work. So there was a lot of kind of onboarding. We had across, even if I just look at the two sales CRMs that we had across the businesses, there were varying degrees of usage. So in my team, we were pretty solid about what we did there. In other teams, they weren't, because they didn't feel they needed that level of detail, which is fine, but the business does. And so educating people as to why we needed them to be more rigid and why it would actually save them time in the long run, because we wouldn't be having to ask them a barrage of questions when it came to issuing an invoice or when it came to a PA coming in. So we had a number of kind of workshop sessions and it worked out really well because, you know, I was able to take people along on the journey. And whilst they understood that it was going to be a bit of a tough learning path, once they got there, they were running and really enjoying the difference. But it took some doing, and it took some doing at different levels as well. So, you know, I needed to buy in the C-suite, I needed to buy in the management, and I also needed to kind of buy in the people on the ground.
Yeah, the fear of the change is worse than the change. And oftentimes the change yields so much effect that are so beneficial. People say, why didn't we do this before? I've seen it so many times. You get one last word here, John, to close out the podcast. How do you feel about digital enablement today? What one word would you use to describe your feeling about it?
Oh, boy. Complex. I think there's now such a range of tools and platforms and methodologies. We're talking about things in the future that may or may not turn out to be what we're looking at the moment, but I think it's quite a difficult landscape to navigate. And I'm fortunate in that I started in digital in the 90s, so I've been pragmatic, I've been hands-on, I've got a reasonable filter, but also I know how I roll my sleeves up. So I didn't need to be the person that set up CRM, but I wanted to be, because I wanted to make sure that if I'm going to make other people use it, I need to know how it works. So I think it's kind of difficult getting the cut through. And so for me, the important thing, what jobs to do, what jobs is this thing doing, and how much time is it going to save me, rather than why it's the future.
John, thanks for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate your input. That's a journey most of our listeners are up against, and I'm sure they got a lot of value from hearing the story of complexity and bringing it all together. This is Greg Silverman from Digitally Enabled signing off for today. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Look forward to having you on the show next time.
That's all for today's episode. We hope these insights from top brand managers help you as you face your own digital roadblocks. Remember that you're not alone in the challenges you face. If you would like to further connect with fellow elite brand managers, join the Beam community by sending an email to gsilverman@monogle.com. Thank you for joining us. See you on the next one.